Survey out this week says that kids are going on fewer school trips than they were a generation ago. Isn't that sad? School trips are just amazing. You usually come back with a story. What's your school trip story, Ben?
We went to Austria.
Wow.
In secondary school first, to go skiing.
Yeah.
And we had, it was rooms of, I think I had about five or six people in each room.
Mm-hmm.
And we was all mucking about in one of the rooms, and we all sort of play fighting, as you do. Someone's kicked a large bottle of Coke right at the wall, and it's hit a pitcher and broke the pitcher.
Right.
Now, we're all panicking now. It's a really old, like, Austrian little fires in the corner, a really old building.
Oh, yeah.
So we sort of started panicking. So we've got one person with, like, socks mucking up the Coke. Someone else doing nothing, and then there was three of us trying to stick this picture frame back together. So that involved all of us chewing packs and packs of Hubba Bubba. Remember that chewing gum?
Oh, bubble gum, yeah. To stick.
And we stuck the whole frame back with bubble Hubba Bubba. Hang it back on the thing, and we've never heard anything of this. We thought that was genius.
It really was the perfect crime.
It was, and yeah. We all got away with it. No, to be all told. No damage to the rooms.
You're all bonded, and there's the cone of silence. No one squeals on this.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so. And
snitches get stitches.
Snitches get stitches. Yeah. Oh, Ben, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, mate.
This is London Calling.
Does this song sound familiar to you?
Finally, I'm crossing.
Does it sound like Creep by Radiohead?
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry.
Radiohead are suing Lana Del Rey because they say her new song Get Free sounds like their song Creep. The thing is, Creep was actually a rip-off of The Air That I Breathe, which was a hit for the Hollies in 1974.
If I could make a wish, I think I'd pass. Can't think of anything I need.
If those two songs don't sound similar to you, here's the Moon Loungers. We've put the two together.
If I could make a wish, I think I'd pass. Can't think of anything I need. When you were here before, no cigarettes, no sleep, look you in
no
the
light.
Eye, no sound.
You're just like an angel,
nothing to eat, no.
Your skin makes me cry.
So Creep was a rip-off. In fact, Albert Hammond and Mike Hazelwood, who wrote The Air That I Breathe, successfully sued Radiohead for copyright infringement. Now the liner notes of Radiohead's Pablo Honey credit Hammond and Hazelwood as co-writers of Creep, and Hammond and Hazelwood split royalties with the band. So, Radiohead got sued because Creep was a rip-off of The Air That I Breathe, and now Radiohead are suing Lana Del Rey for ripping off Creep. It's like suing someone for breaking the windows of a house you're squatting in. Because I complain about a lot of things, when I just write a list of things that wind me up, it reads like Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. Only in his song, it's all American things and historic things. Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, right? Well, I've just got, you know, Theresa May, Brexit, Budget Day. I don't know, you know, that kind of thing. So I need to put this together and record this as a song. You know, We Didn't Start the Fire. What else should be on my list? I want to know what winds you up. And if it's something that winds me up as well, I'll put it in the song. I didn't start the fire. It'll be therapy for me. It'll help. So what should be in that? What winds you up? What's winding you up? Jordanus.
I just got back from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
On the way out, I was interrogated.
Interrogated? By who?
Yeah. By the, you know, at the airport, security officers.
What do they want to know?
Well, who am I? Yeah. How many brothers and sisters do I have?
Uh-huh.
What's my father's? Almost, they went back to 5 generations.
Wow!
And I was just coming home.
And what passport were you travelling on?
British passport.
You were travelling on a British passport and you were visiting Israel, who was not an enemy of Britain. And how long did this all take?
Well, I was there about 25 minutes being questioned, so the queue was building up behind me.
Oh, wow.
And they have a different system. You get interrogated before you check in your luggage. They're the first people that you meet.
Oh, really? And why do you think, why do you think they singled you out?
It's probably because of my origin. What? I come from Eritrea.
Where's that? That's in Africa?
That's in East Africa, yeah.
So that's not really Middle East, is it?
It's not Middle East. And also, I got into Israel. I stayed there for 2 weeks and I'm leaving the country peacefully. I haven't done anything wrong.
And
so really,
what, were you wearing anything that might have tipped them off?
I had jeans, a jumper and jeans jacket. I was very, like, casual.
Yolandis, thank you very much. All right. I'll see if I can put in, I'll see if I can fit interrogation into my song. Interrogation. All right. Thank you very much. Free speech is under attack in Britain again. Less than a week after I was forced to apologise to the Prime Minister for saying she's weak, Ben Bradley, the Conservative Member of Parliament for Mansfield, has been forced to apologise for a blog he wrote in 2012. Here's what he wrote. Sorry, but how many children you have is a choice. If you can't afford them, stop having them. Vasectomies are free. He went on. Families who have never worked a day in their lives, having 4 or 5 kids, and the rest of us having 1 or 2, means it's not long before we're drowning in a vast sea of unemployed wasters that we pay to keep. That's what he wrote. What is wrong with what he's saying there? Makes a lot of sense to me. We voted for Brexit. And Brexit was about immigration. The fear that migrants were putting too much stress on resources like housing, social services, and the National Health Service. Well, that's exactly what these people are doing with their out-of-control breeding. If Ben Bradley wants to point that out, what's the problem? Forced to apologise? Freedom is all about choice. If you don't like what I have to say, you're free to listen to someone else. It's the same with Ben Bradley. If you don't like what he stands for, don't vote for him. Ben Bradley was promoted in the recent reshuffle. He was made vice chairman for youth. Well, of course, the opposition parties have had something to say. Kat Smith, Labour's shadow minister for youth affairs, said, "These repulsive comments expose the Tories' disgraceful attitude to unemployed people." And Liberal Democrat MP Leila Moran said, "It beggars belief that someone who has shown such contempt for young people who are out of work has been tasked by the Prime Minister to improve the party's appeal with young voters." Okay. So Ben Bradley is the Conservative Vice Chairman for Youth. It looks like Kat Smith and Leila Moran are fighting it out for another important role. Commandant of the Thought Police. You got a school trip story, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I quite have some quite good fond memories of school trips. My dad used to come on quite a few of them.
Oh, did he? Good thing.
Yeah. He was quite helpful from what I remember, and the teachers appreciated it. Yeah. But one we had was Kew Gardens. Me and I think there was about four or five of us in the group.
Yeah.
And bless my dad, he did like a beer. And we've having our lunch break, a little picnic on the grass.
Yeah.
And he's asked us all, "Hi kids, would you like a Coke?"
Right.
And we're like, "Oh yeah, great." So he's gone, he's come back, and we've all got our Coke and our sandwiches, and he's enjoying his beer. And the teacher's come over and said, "Oh, sorry, Mr. Gannon, but you can't have a beer while you're in charge of the children."
Right.
He went, "Why not?" He said, "The kids are happy. Kids, are you happy?" And we're all like, "Yeah, we're happy." And like, we've all just looked at the teacher, and the teacher's just kind of turned around and walked away.
Really?
And sat there with a big grin on his face. What? I mean, he probably wouldn't get away with that now.
No, but what a cool dad.
Yeah.
What a cool dad. Wow. Yeah. What's on your mind, Ken?
The parole board.
Oh, with this rapist?
Yeah, both of them. Now it's two of them, isn't there?
There's a second one. There was the taxi driver rapist.
Yes, now there's another one.
What's happened there?
He was the, what they call the M25 rapist.
Okay, yeah.
Raped a girl in Stevenage, a couple of girls underage, and their parole board won't let him out.
They want to let him out?
Disgraceful.
What is going on here? What's the matter with these people?
They're not in the real world, are they?
They're not. And the real world is, and you know, most people are honest. Most people are good. Most people are good people. But there is an element who are rat bags.
Exactly.
And all we have to do is warehouse the rat bags so they're not part of society. And then the honest, the decent people will have better lives. It's really simple. Don't let the bad guys out. Keep them locked up.
Exactly. Well, you know, you go to prison for two reasons. One is punishment, and two, to protect society.
Exactly.
And these people, I mean, like this John Venables, how many new chances have they given him?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
he keeps doing it.
Well,
they get addicted to sex crimes. They're never going to be cured.
Yeah, they're never, especially with that kind of crime. You know,
exactly.
there's a chance that, you know, a thief might be able to be reformed. But you get that kind of sex crime. They're sick people. You've got to lock them up. They need to put them on an island or something. You know, I don't know, some penal colony, and never let them out again.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
It's disgraceful, isn't it?
But you've got these do-gooders and these snivel libertarians, and they're, you know, these people, these crims, they're basically dishonest.
And they're deceitful.
Deceitful and dishonest. And of course, they're fooling these wet farts on these parole boards. They're conning them. That's how they're getting out. That's how this is going down. The people on the parole board should be the hardest people who've seen everything. Like people who are retired prison officers that have seen everything. Retired cops. We don't want these snivel libertarians and these do-gooders and these tree huggers. No, we don't want all that. That's not the kind of person you want on a parole board. Because you've got the duty to society to protect society. To hell with the rights of the crim. They gave them up when they committed these horrible crimes.
Exactly.
Yeah, well.
So this new one they were let out, his name is, back in 2012, the judge who said he showed no signs of remorse.
Right. Yeah.
And now the parole board won't let him out.
Yeah, because he's got an incentive. If he fakes remorse, they'll let him out. And so he's got remorse now. Yeah, now he's been locked up. Now he hates being in jail.
Antonio Emilia.
Right. Yeah.
63, was jailed in 2004, seven life sentences, rape of nine women and girls, eight of which occurred in just 1 year.
And now they want to let him out.
Exactly.
Seven life sentences and now they want to let him out. Hello,
exactly.
There's something wrong there.
Disgraceful.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, Ken.
Take care.
Cheers,
great
mate.
Show, by the way.
Thank you.
Bye.
Nigel Farage says and does some strange things. Now, he was the leader of the UK Independence Party, a political party that was anti-EU. Nigel is Britain's most high-profile Brexiteer. But you have to wonder if he believes in Brexit at all. On the 23rd of June 2016, as the polls closed after the referendum, he said, "It's been an extraordinary campaign. But UKIP is going nowhere, and it looks like Remain will edge it." The following day, he's interviewed on TV on Good Morning Britain. He said the pledge to spend £350 million of European Union cash on the National Health Service, our socialised medicine system here, after Brexit, would never happen. Now, that pledge, that slogan, that £350 million a week is going to the EU and should be going to the NHS, was on a giant battle bus during the campaign. But the day after the referendum, Nigel Farage said he couldn't guarantee that the money pledged for the health service would be spent on it. He said, "I would never have made that claim. That was one of the mistakes I think the Leave campaign made." After Donald Trump was elected, Farage was the first British politician to go to America and suck up to him. Was he looking for a job in America as part of Trump's team? Had he decided he didn't want to live in the post-Brexit Britain he'd campaigned for? Well, now on TV, on Channel 5, on The Right Stuff, he said we should have a second referendum on EU membership. Now, that's what Remainers have been calling for, because they know a lot of people have now changed their minds. Now they realise what Brexit means, and a lot of people who voted to leave actually want us to stay. And now Nigel Farage, the most high-profile Brexiteer, is calling for another referendum, which is strange, because that's a referendum where we would probably vote to stay this time round. Politicians are slimy narcissists. They're self-absorbed and hell-bent on control. They'll do anything for attention. And that's what Nigel Farage has done. He used irrational fears about immigration and the EU to get people to think about the idea of leaving in the first place. Now it looks like he might not be that keen on the idea, and maybe he never was. Most economic forecasts say that Brexit will damage the UK economy. And the timing of Nigel Farage's talk of a second referendum is interesting. He's saying this just after he's met with the EU negotiator, Michael Barnier. In fact, Nigel claimed that his meeting with Monsieur Barnier prompted his latest remarks. I don't think Nigel Farage actually wanted us to leave the EU. I think he just wanted to get attention by suggesting we should. David Cameron made the same mistake when he was Prime Minister. He promised the referendum just to get re-elected. He didn't think we'd actually vote for something so damaging. Well, that political decision backfired. And now David Cameron, as a politician, is finished. It looks like, after talking to Michel Barnier about what Brexit really means for Britain, Nigel Farage is running scared and doesn't want to join David Cameron in the political wilderness. I'm Graham Mack, and a couple of weeks ago on the show, we were talking about stuff you've left behind. What have you left behind, Kathy?
I left my handbag on a bus once.
Oh, no.
I did, yeah. And it was on the S2, and it did a whole round of St Albans, and I remembered what the driver looked like, and I had to stand at the bus stop and wait for an hour for him to come back.
Oh, for it to
and
come back round. Right.
Yeah, and I did, and I waited for him to come back round, and I got into, can I just look and see if I've left my handbag yet? And it was still there.
Wow. What was it just like on the seat?
It was, I'd slid down the side, and it had just... And one day, I'll tell you something else I left behind. When I had my daughter, when I took her out for the very first time when she was a week old, I left her in the supermarket and went home on the bus.
No. Was this because you weren't used to having a baby to take care of?
And when I got home, I'm thinking, what have I lost? I couldn't. And then I saw the baby chair, and I went, oh my God, the baby. So I phoned the supermarket, and the manager says, oh, don't worry, she's in the office, they're looking after her.
So what, was she sat in the chair in the trolley or something, were?
No, she was. She was only a baby. She was on a pram.
You'd left the pram and everything there.
Yeah, everything.
And just gone home with the groceries.
Yeah.
Did she?
I did, yep.
Did she turn out to be a well-adjusted adult?
She is. She's lovely.
She doesn't have abandonment issues.
Luckily, she was only a week old. She didn't remember it.
Goodness me, Kathy! Thanks for sharing.
You're very welcome.
11 billion pounds worth of unused kitchen equipment is in our homes. And we're talking about spiralizers, ice cream makers, chopsticks, bamboo steamers, sushi mats, pasta rollers. What have you got that you've hardly had any use, but when you bought it, you didn't think you could live without it? Kev?
I've got the George Foreman that is still in his box after the third house move.
Right. Never even been out of his box, righto?
Well, just been to look at it, other than that, no. And then the fabled spiralizer.
The spiralizer. Now, am I right? This makes spaghetti out of carrots.
Yeah, or you could go for a cucumber or even maybe a sweet potato. I mean, it's a multitasking tool.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, it's done none of those things and has just graced the inside of the drawer.
Right. And how long has it been in there?
I'd say at least 2 years, maybe.
Two years, okay. And why haven't you stuck it on eBay or just thrown it out?
Because I think somebody else would look at it and go, do I really need this in my life?
Yes, yeah, all right. You want to save somebody else from the disappointment, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, thanks for checking in, Kev. So the vat of tat is open. What would you like to throw in the vat of tat? This is stuff you've bought but hardly ever used. 01438 422 106. Good morning, Tim. What do you got?
About 10 years ago, I was a really smart city guy, and I thought, you know what? I really, really want Corby trouser press.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was bidding on eBay, and I eventually got it. You know what? That's that in my game. I was for 10 years until I took it down the dump. It just got in the way. It was too big, didn't fit anywhere, wouldn't go in the cupboard. Never used it. What a lot of time that was.
Thank you very much for sharing, right. Tim, and admitting it. All right.
Yes, bye.
Dumb things your parents say, or dumb things parents say, because you might be the parent who said it. Sherry.
I come from South America,
mm-hmm.
and my parents used to tell me, because this guy used to walk past with a Hessian bag on his back,
mm-hmm.
and he said, my parents said, if you're naughty, that man will come in the morning and collect you to take your head off, because in that bag were little children's heads.
That's horrific!
But true!
And you would actually see this bloke carrying this bag?
Yeah, what in fact he had done is he'd been and collected his coconuts and he was on his way to the market to sell them.
Right.
But I didn't know that.
Though
it's very believable.
Wow.
But the Hessian bag, yeah.
What a horrific thing to tell a child.
Well, there you go.
Did it work? Did you behave? I bet it did.
I was always a good girl.
Oh, well, there you go.
Always a good girl.
Johnson, budget day, Brexit, Theresa May, Kim Jong-un, Corbyn, the Antiques Roadshow. Green Party, drug addiction, global warming, Eurovision, North Korea, South Korea, Gary Barlow. Cyclists, shotgun, sugar tax, Kardashians, Bake Off, CSI, Rupert Murdoch, Price of Sky, Russians in a submarine, England's got an old queen, Barcelona, liberation, Catalonia, goodbye. I didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world's been turning. I didn't start the fire, no, I didn't light it, but I tried to fight it. Simon Cowell, Microsoft, Bill Gates, petrol cost, Daily Mail, TVs in jail, Irish border block. Dot-com, Bitcoin, traffic wardens, Macron, girly men, Westminster, fixing Big Ben's clock. Parking fine, brill cream, city's got a winning team. Prosecco, Rocket Man, Donald Trump, Euroland. Barbie dolls, bank interest, train fares, bad breath, steeplechase, horse race, boat team, McBoatface. I didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. I didn't start the fire. No, I didn't light it, but I tried to fight it. Little shop, bum crack, scented candles, anorak, fly, dipping samurai, stealth taxes on the sly. Space station, shopping mall, David Beckham, conference call, congestion charge, diesel cars, carbon dioxide. Shopping trolleys, dancing bears, lab monkeys, fun fairs, pubs turning gastro, government funds a quango, smokers, herbal tea, childhood obesity, double-deckers disco, Beatles song by Elvo. I didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world's been turning. I didn't start the fire. No, I didn't light it, but I tried to fight it. Smart motorways, rat runs, IVF, gastric bands, villains, built-ins, power of persuasion. Saudi Arabia, political megalomania, raw fish, tax men, the Pope and the Vatican, the Wailing Wall, free flight checks, boob jobs on the NHS, railway, home and away, what else do I have to say? I didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. I didn't start the fire. No, I didn't light it, but I tried to fight it. Burning coal, wheelie bins, weather forecast wrong again. Ascot, boycott, gaining weight, hip-hop. Ten-pin bowling, fishing line, erosion of the coastline. ISIS soldiers in a van, Russian missiles in Iran. Gerard Butler, royal bride, young people dissatisfied. Foreign debts, expensive vets, James Corden, homeless pets. One side locked on double doors, congestion charging, stupid laws. Boats and mowers, great outdoors, I can't take it anymore! I didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. I didn't start the fire, but when I am gone, it'll still burn on and 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 on. I didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. I didn't start the fire. No, I didn't light it, but I tried to fight it. I didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. I didn't start the fire. No, I didn't light it, but I tried to fight it. I didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. I didn't start the fire. No, I didn't light it, but I tried to fight it. I didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. I didn't start the fire. And thanks to Adam Carolla for the inspiration on that one. Let's cross now live to Philadelphia and talk to Jim McKay. What's the weather like?
It's cold. Still is.
Yeah, it's cold here too.
Above.
It's really just dropped.
It's a tick or two above freezing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's not much better here. It's not good at all. Don't like it. And as usual, the Met Office here have been predicting Arctic conditions, pretty much a second ice age, as they do every year. And it never gets that bad. We've had mild winters the last three. Maybe we're due for one. Maybe that's what they're up to. But they're only, you know, I haven't got a large supercomputer that cost 100 million quid, but they have. And they're only as good at guessing it as I am.
Yeah.
Because that's all it is. It's just a guessing game with the weather. It's going to do what it's going to do. Don't know why people pretend they can predict it. You just can't. Yeah. Just the biggest scam going, weather forecasting. Really is.
My brother a few years ago had a great idea, especially anyone, you know, TV or I don't know how you do it on radio. But anytime you're making a forecast, you actually have to say, you know, okay, this is such, this is what's going to happen today.
Mm.
And then basically you have a scorecard.
Hmm.
You have a percentage on screen.
Yeah.
50% of the time you're right.
Because that's what they're doing. They've stopped in America now. They've stopped saying, and it's going to rain later on today. They go, we've got an 80% chance of rain later today. Well, that really lets them off the hook because they can go, oh, well, 20% chance that it wouldn't. And that's, it didn't, you know.
Yeah.
So they should also say,
and here's how good we are at doing this.
Yeah.
There should be some sort of rating.
No one's noticed yet, but it's been many years since I've given the weather out on the radio. You're supposed to do it like every half an hour. You're supposed to do, and today's top temperature, and today's going to be cloudy. Just a quick one. It's going to be cloudy with a top temperature of whatever degrees. I just don't do them anymore. No one's noticed. No balls. On any radio station. For years. I can't remember. It might be 10 years. I just, at one stage, I thought, I'm not giving this out. I don't even know if it's going to be right. And it's going to look bad on me. Somebody's picnic is ruined, or someone's plans are ruined, or even if they're washing,
yeah,
whatever. I'm not wearing that. If I make a mistake, I'll hold my hands up and go, I got that wrong. But I'm not making someone else's mistake for them and then wearing it. No way. So I haven't done a weather forecast on the radio for years. No one's noticed. No listener has rang up. So, and I'm at the stage now where if a boss ever goes, I noticed you don't do the weather. You don't do the weather. People need that information in the morning. And I'll go, you know what? In 10 years, no one has called up and said, where is it? No one's missed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So you're wrong. Okay.
If they need that information so much.
Yeah. How come it's taken this long for you to notice?
Yes.
And the listener still hasn't noticed. They don't turn to radio for weather forecasts. And the news give it out. And we do news every half hour. But for DJs to do it in between that, no, I'm not doing it. Let the news do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's an app for it. That's where they get the information.
Exactly. It's like, have you ever seen that a great bit with Marc Maron when he goes on the radio? You seen that bit?
Oh, is that with the time?
With the time
about
calls.
The time?
Yeah. Why do we do time calls? What? It's just everywhere. There's a clock. There are clocks everywhere.
Yeah.
You're never out of sight of a clock. Because there's always some computer screen or something staring at you. Microwave has a clock. Your oven has a clock. Your TV has a clock. There's a clock on every screen. I am now, there are four clocks pointing at me and I'm not even looking. No, there are five. There's one on that CD player over there. I mean, there are clocks everywhere. The last thing you need is someone telling you the time. There's a clock on my phone.
My father, I don't think he ever wore a watch because of that same, there's something is going to be telling you the time, or someone around you will have the time.
Yeah. I don't wear a watch anymore. The time's on my phone. And the great thing is when it's daylight saving or whatever, it changes without me doing anything. Yeah.
And the time now is 8:03 and let's go to.
Yeah. It's like radio's not kept up with that. They, I mean, we still do, when it snows, we still do a list of schools that are closed. Well, all the parents have to do is to find out whether their kid's school is closed, is go on the school's Facebook page, and the school will tell them.
Yeah.
But radio stations still do it. They still do it.
I remember, you know as a kid, listening to AM station, and it wasn't even the name of the school. It was just the school's code.
Oh, there was a code.
It was like a 3 or 4 digit code.
Yeah.
That you had. And that's how you got the information. if it was a 2 hour delay, or if it was, you know, if it was open or was going to be closed.
And what was the reason for the code?
I think it was just for sake of time.
Okay. All right.
You could get through a block of, you know, 7:03, 7:04, 7:05, 7:07, 7:03, 2 hour delay. Rather than saying this is the full name of the school.
Yeah.
I think it was just time, but that's the only reason I can think of.
I was once told why they close the schools when the weather's bad. And I tested it once on a radio station. Somebody said to me, do you know why they close the schools when the weather's bad? I said, well, isn't it something to do with safety of the kids and whatever? He said, oh, yeah, they tell you that, but that's not the real reason. The real reason is teachers don't live in the school districts. They live outside. I said, really? Oh, yeah. They don't want to bump into the parents in the supermarket or at the post office, especially if they've given the kid a bad report at parent and met them at parents' evening and they don't agree. Yeah. So the teachers don't usually live anywhere near the schools. So they have a long commute in. They don't want to commute when it's bad weather. And so I was on BBC Shropshire. I was filling in on their breakfast show. And there was a school closure thing. It was snow. There was snow and stuff in the school closure thing. And I said to the head teacher on the air, who was a guest on the air, she was on the phone. I said, I don't want to be funny here, and this is an honest question, but why do you close the schools when the weather's bad? Oh, well, you know, those playgrounds are very icy and the kids might fall over and whatever. And I said, oh, really? When has there been a single incident when a school didn't close and a child was hurt? Oh, I'm sure there's been one. Okay, call me back tomorrow and tell me about this incident that you know of. Of course, she didn't call. It's never happened. There's never been an, you don't hear like, if only this school had closed, then these 17 children would not have been decapitated.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never hear that. It's not a risk. Because my school, I don't remember it ever closing. And my first school when I was 5 years old, there were footprints along the playground from the classroom to the outside toilet block where we had to go to the toilet. It was,
wow.
The toilet block was in the middle of the playground. And the school didn't have indoor plumbing when I first went there in 1969, my first day at school. And you had to walk through the snow to take a leak. There were footprints across the playground. And then the following year, they modernized it and they put bathrooms and wash basins and toilets inside the school building. But my first year there, when I was 5 years old, and they never closed the school. There was never a problem. They just, if it was really bad weather, they kept you in at playtime, at break, or recess, or whatever you call it. They just didn't let you go out there. They kept you in. So they're going to do that anyway. They do that if it rains. They're going to do that if it's snowy or if the playground's too icy. They're not going to let you go out there. So they don't need to close the bloody school. The school closing thing, it's a total sham. It's a sham. It's because the teachers don't want to commute in the bad weather. That's why it is. That's why they close the schools. Don't let them kid you. That's what it's all about.
What I like is, this happened two or three years ago. All the forecasters got on their high horse. One of them must have said, caught wind of something or other, and they said, oh, it's going to be 3 feet of snow tomorrow. Oh, it's going to be the worst snow ever. Oh, it's going to be awful. And then everyone else said it too. Oh my. So they cancelled school the night before.
Night before, yep.
Did not get one flake.
Yep. That happens here too.
The next day. Nothing. Nothing.
I was at BBC Wiltshire, where there were a few people who worked there. The station was in Swindon, and I lived in Swindon, like 1 mile from the radio station. But there was a lot of people worked there that lived in Bristol and Gloucestershire and places thereabouts.
Mm.
They got this forecast that there was going to be heavy snow and whatever. So all of those people, and there was about 20 of them, the BBC paid to put them up in a hotel overnight so that there would still be a BBC service the next morning. And there wasn't a flake of snow. And they'd put like a third of the radio station staff in a hotel overnight.
Wow.
So, of course, they spend the night in the bar. You know?
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. Not a flake. Nothing. It was actually quite mild the next day. Yeah.
Yeah, people were wearing shorts, short pants the next day. Oh, this is great.
Happens all the time. You can't forecast the weather. It's going to do what it's going to do. You can say it's going to be colder in winter, warmer in summer, mild in spring and autumn. You cannot say what it's going to do. Nobody knows. It's the weather is unpredictable. Everyone says, oh, the weather, it changes like the weather. It's so unpredictable. Yeah, well, stop trying to predict it then, if it's unpredictable.
I think that'd be great. tomorrow's going to be,
Yeah.
Maybe rain?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
It's going to be cooler than July, but... And the fuss they make on TV, at least on the radio, it's just a few lines. But on TV, they got the maps and the satellite picture and the thing, and none of it goes in. At the end of the forecast, you go, what did he say? He said something about a depression in the... Oh, I don't know. Yeah. They make such a... TV makes such a meal of it. Wow.
And they always give you, in the top of the broadcast, they give you, oh, and big changes coming in the weather. We'll have that coming up next.
Yeah.
Or, you know, later on, huge changes in the weather.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I guess you want me to keep watching?
Yeah.
Or should I just go online to find out? Oh, there's an app. Oh, you know what? There still is an app for that.
Hmm. The one that annoys me, and you hear it on the BBC a lot, at the end of a show, and they do it on the end of a radio show, and they do it on the end of a TV show, and they go, we'll be back at this time next week. Well, no, you won't. If you tune in at that time, you'll just see the end.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be back half an hour before now. Well, that's it for this one. In the next one, I'll be talking to Tony Hendra, the British satirist who's been based in America for a long time now, worked at National Lampoon, and was even in This Is Spinal Tap. Remember the manager? In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Graham Mac. You want to hear more Mac Nuggets? Check out my website, macmedia.co.uk, and subscribe to my Bob FM show on Apple Podcasts. Got a question or something to say? Send me an email. If you put your phone number in the email, I might call you back or Skype you on the show. My email address, graham@macmedia.co.uk, and you spell Graham like the cracker, Mac like the truck. Till next time. Ta-da.